Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. We're turning to Matthew, and it's the chapter 13 and the verse 54. This will be our last study, if everything works out the way I have planned it. Our last study of this verse. We're coming near the end of this year. I could have many more verses we could look at, but I have certainly one more that I'd like us to consider. And then I would also like, when we get up near the 25th of December, to make a wee comment on the festivities that the world engages in on the 25th of December. They call it Christmas, Mass for Christ. That ought to be enough to tell us that there's something wrong with these events. But we'll look at that later in the month. And then in the new year, in the will of the Lord, I want to start a new study. I would like to consider with you my favorite verses in the Psalms. I'm not going to consider all of my favorite verses, because that probably would last longer than I will live. But just some of my favorite verses, and they will be linked to those portions of the Psalms in which reference is made to the coming back again of the Lord Jesus. You know, even way, way back in the days of the psalmist, they were thinking and singing about the return of Christ. In fact, their knowledge of that event given them of God was such that we can learn from what they have recorded in the Psalms. So that'll be the subject in the will of the Lord in the new year. Now, let's turn to this verse, and I'm going to read it again, because I know we're inclined to forget, what the Bible has to say, no matter how often we read it. We're inclined to forget. We can remember many, many things, but we so often forget what the Bible has to say. And of course the reason for that, well, there are many reasons, but it speaks of matters that the old nature within us would prefer to forget. You've heard me tell of how before I was converted, when I used to travel home on a bus in Belfast, I knew that up the road there was a church that had a big lit up gospel text, "You must be born again." And I used to not want to see it. And I used to buy a newspaper and hold it up, pretending to be reading it, to block out the sight. Of course, it didn't block out the sight, because as soon as I began to think about it, I could see it in my mind. So I might as well have put the paper away and just looked. But we do want to remember that old nature within us. And for that reason, we tend to forget what the Bible says. So let's remind ourselves exactly what it is we're looking at. Chapter 13, the verse 54. "And when he was come into his own country..." It must have been a wonderful privilege to live in that country that the Lord Jesus called his own. And he's not here speaking about Israel, but he's speaking about a little bit of Israel in and around Nazareth. And he called that his own country. I wonder how many people went around in those days saying, "You know, the Lord Jesus was raised in my town. I belong to the same country as him, the same area as him." Of course, we could express ourselves in a similar fashion today. We could say, for instance, to others, "You know, I belong and I attend a church, a school, where the Lord Jesus Christ and what he says is preached." That would be something similar to someone saying, "I come from the same country as did the Messiah." So, we'll read on. We didn't get too far. "He taught them in their synagogue." You know, I never can read the Bible, but I see wee things. Do you notice it says, "his country, their synagogue"? Now, I've no doubt that this is the synagogue that he would have attended from when he was a boy. But he doesn't call it his synagogue. Do you know why? Because he wasn't welcome there. Wasn't welcome there. It wasn't his synagogue. He wasn't honored in that synagogue. No. The country was his in which the synagogue was found, because he was raised there. But the synagogue, it was their synagogue. their notions, their thoughts, their views ruled in that synagogue, not the word of the Lord Jesus. We read on, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? We come, as I say, to the last study. And our study today is going to center upon this truth. The unbelief of this people robbed them of God's blessing. Always remember that, boys and girls. Unbelief goes along with missing God's blessing. It goes along with missing heaven. If unbelief rules in your heart, you can't get into heaven. It's only those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what his word says who will get into heaven. And here we see the unbelief of this people cost them God's blessing. Look what we read in verse 58. Verse 58. And he did not many works there because of their unbelief. Their attitude, their rejection of the word of the Lord Jesus, their refusal to believe what he said, robbed them from him doing what he would have done. Many, many mighty works. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that. Unbelief, let me put it like this. Unbelief will lock the door of heaven and keep you out. Keep you out. You'll not get in because of unbelief. Faith is the key that opens the door of heaven. You remember what the jailer asked? What shall I do to be saved? Paul said, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And for every one of you who today believe, they're resting upon Christ, the door of heaven is open, ready to welcome you. But this people robbed themselves of God's blessing because of their unbelief. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. There's a terrible price to be paid for rejecting Christ. A terrible price to be paid for not believing. I want you to notice a number of things here. First of all, I want you to notice that their unbelief was a marvel to the Lord Jesus. He marveled at their unbelief. In Mark's account, which is found in Mark chapter 6, and the verses 5 and 6, we read this. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled. In other words, he thought to himself, is this not a most strange thing? Is this not a marvelous thing? A wonderful thing? They don't believe. They don't believe. You see, it was a strange thing because they had every reason to believe. They had heard God's word. They had seen the Lord Jesus walk in their midst, as I've told you before, for nearly 30 years, growing up amongst them. And his life would have been a wonderful witness. His life was like the sun shining in the midst of darkness. And yet they didn't believe. And their unbelief was marvelous. I'll tell you this, I have no doubt that if someone in Kilskerry Independent Christian School does not get saved, it will cause God to marvel. Because God will say, how can this be? Haven't they heard all their days the gospel? Haven't they been told who I am? What I will do for them if they believe? How can they not believe? That will be God's reaction to you if you don't believe the gospel. That's what he's saying today about you. If you're not saved, are you saved? Or are you like this people here? Rejectors. Unbelievers. Then notice also that as a result of this unbelief, they robbed themselves of limitless. That is, blessings without limit. That's what they robbed themselves of. Not just one or two nice things that could have been theirs, but everlasting, benefits and blessings that could have been there. Unbelief, boys and girls, how can I put it? Faith, as it were, turns on a tap, and out of that tap gushes the blessings of God forever. Forever. Not just a wee dribble, a little drop or two, but it's a mighty stream, river, fountain of blessing. And that's what this people robbed themselves of by their unbelief. He could do their no mighty work, verse 58 says. In fact, I have to correct myself, as it were, and point out the little word many. It wasn't just a matter of he couldn't do there any mighty work, it said he couldn't do there many mighty works, as he would have done, if they had but believed. Oh, boys and girls, if we don't believe the gospel, we rob ourselves of so much, so much, we cannot calculate how much. Every day we read robbers went into a shop, went into a bank, went into a post office, and they robbed that place of X number of pounds. And everybody knows how much was taken, how much was lost as a result of this robbery. But nobody can put a value upon what the sinner is robbed of when they don't believe the gospel. It's just impossible to calculate. So boundless is the mercy of God that's offered to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. These foolish people, at this very moment, boys and girls, those who are spoken of here are lost. They're not in heaven. They're lost. They're lost in the everlasting darkness of God's damnation. And at this moment, they're thinking, what a fool I was not to believe. What a fool I was not to believe. Don't join them in their folly. Then, notice one more point. They could blame no one but themselves for the loss. They couldn't say, oh, it's because of so-and-so that I now have been robbed of God's blessing. No. The Lord Jesus has presented to us in this verse 58, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. God doesn't blame the devil. Oh, the devil had a part to play. He would have tempted them to unbelief. He would have whispered in their ear, don't believe what he says. Yes, the devil played a part, but the decision was theirs. It was their unbelief that cost them God's blessing. And you will never be able to say, I have missed heaven because of what she said, or he did, or what the Sunday school teacher failed to do, or the preacher failed to do. You'll never be able to say that. You'll be faced with the horrible truth. I've lost heaven. I'm not in heaven for all eternity because of my unbelief. It's my fault. Will you understand that? If you don't believe the gospel today, listen to me, if you don't believe the gospel today, the next time you look in the mirror, point at the reflection and say, there is my greatest enemy. There is the reflection of the one who will keep me out of heaven if I go on in my unbelief. Do you realize that? Isn't it solemn, boys and girls? Then again, notice that unbelief will, how will I put it, bind the hands of God. Now God is almighty. He's irresistible. He can't be stopped. And yet, unbelief stopped the Lord Jesus doing in that area and in that city of Nazareth that which he would have wanted to do. He could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. It stopped him. It stopped him. Unbelief will stop God's blessing coming to you. Oh, do you understand what it is you do when you reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus? God reaches out to you, heaven, in his hand. But unbelief will knock the hand of God away, as it were, and you'll not enjoy heaven. You'll not enjoy heaven. one final thing. I want you to notice that amidst all the unbelief that was found there in Nazareth, there were a few who did believe, and they received blessings from the Lord. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief, but as we're told in that reference I gave you earlier, Mark chapter 6, we're told there that he healed a few. He laid his hands upon a few sick folk. You know, the truth of the matter is, boys and girls, that on that day when the Lord Jesus comes again and the saved will be gathered to him, it will be seen that only a few were saved. The vast majority of humanity will be lost. Only a few will be saved. I like history, and oftentimes I watch or read the history of the Second World War. I've been following of late the history of the Battle of the Atlantic. Now that was a battle that took place in the early years of the Second World War, and it was a battle that stretched over many, many months. And it's a reference to Germany's attempt to stop ships coming from Canada and America with food and other supplies to the United Kingdom. For we utterly depended upon the food that was thus brought by ships. And Germany hoped to starve our country into surrender by sinking the ships with the food. And the German submarine fleet were out there looking for ships to sink, and they sank so many in the early part of the war, until the Royal Navy developed methods by which they could very largely defend the convoys of ships from the attacks of submarines. And it ended up virtually that if any submarine fired a torpedo and did hit a ship, that submarine would be found and sunk by the Royal Navy ships that were escorting the convoy. But when I listen to the accounts and read, there were so many men drowned as a result of the sinking of their ships. The torpedo was a deadly weapon. It struck the ship down below the waterline, created a great hole, and the ship invariably sunk within minutes. And men hadn't time to get off the ship. And even those who did get off, they were out into freezing cold water. And because the Royal Navy ships and other vessels in the convoy were on full alert and watching out for danger, they couldn't rescue the men. They couldn't stop their ship in order to pick up the men. So hundreds and hundreds and aye and thousands of men perished. Very, very few survive. And that's the way it's going to be in eternity. Only a few will get to heaven. The disciples on one occasion said to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, are there few that be saved? And the Savior didn't respond. Oh no! There's going to be a vast majority of people saved. No, I didn't say that. Rather, here's what he said. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Straight means narrow in this particular context. Enter in at the narrow gate, for broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You'll find those words in Matthew chapter 7, the verses 13 and 14. Now, did you hear what the Savior said? There's only a few who's going to go to heaven. Are you among that few? Oh, I hope you are. Unbelief will stop you joining the few. Unbelief will stop you going to heaven. Just as in this case, there were only a few who enjoyed the Lord's blessing. Unbelief robbed all the others in Nazareth of the Lord's mercy. Are you one of the few? Are you one of the few today? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Oh, I trust you do. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this day, for Jesus' sake. We're going to bow in prayer. Let us all pray. Dear Lord, Thou seest each one, even now bowed before Thee. God of mercy, God of mercy, look down upon them. Smile upon each boy, each girl that's here, and upon the teachers also. And grant Thy blessing, I pray. Lord Jesus, this world turns its back upon You, but may there be found here faith in Thee. And may it please You to lay Your hand upon this few. We ask it in Thy name. Amen. Amen.